The central tenet of Humbird's third full-length album, Right On, is uncertainty as a radical ethos in this soapbox age, and an effort worth turning up the amps for, resulting in the project's most electric, playful, metaled record yet. Opener Creekbed Carter Hogan is a trans folk singer who showcases a unique blend of self-taught folk picking and queer mayhem. FPC Live presents Humbird, Right On release tour with Creekbed Carter Hogan on Thursday, May 16th at the High Noon Saloon. Live music lives at WORT Madison.
In Arabic, we say a bunch of things, but today in particular, أكل البيضة والتأشيرة. Translation, he ate the egg and the eggshell. Greedy to the point of not knowing what to consume or keep. That's when you would describe somebody that just can't get enough of whatever it is. They ate the egg and the shell. Welcome to Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab-American issues. News, culture, food, or at least eggs in the beginning of the show. Fun and games and so much more on this beautiful Sunday, the 5th day of May. It's truly beautiful. I can simply say that today and I believe it myself. Also known as the 26th day of Shawwal in the year 1445 after Hijrah in the Islamic calendar. Speaking of calendar, I have a couple of announcements. The city of Madison is still witnessing events in support of the Palestinian cause and against the genocide. Speaking of against and for, I'm kind of, again, spitting coffee every time I hear it in the morning by well-meaning radio stations everywhere, including those who claim to be impartial, that say that the student sit-ins are pro-Palestinian, and in a way making it sound like they're, you know, pro-Palestinian. It's similar to those who are accused of being pro-Hamas for saying that Israel needs to stop the genocide. So I think we're going to call this one today, just for the sake of today, and just say it's students on campuses are anti-genocide. And now that the U.S. Government decided to name more things broadly, naming things such as criticizing the war against the Palestinians and the clear genocidal acts committed against the Palestinians as anti-Semitic. So now we really have to watch what you're saying, or you'll be labeled anti-Semitic. But for the sake of our show today, I want to call the student protest. It's not just students, that's one. A lot of Americans are protesting what is happening with their against the Palestinians by Israel, funded by with American tax money, taxpayers' money. So with that, I want to say that our anti-genocide protest here in town is still going. We had a family member, a community member, and also a university professor who was hurt during the counter-protest. So if pro-Palestinian protest was in a way peaceful one. They were viciously attacked in several places throughout the U.S. by pro-Israeli genocide supporters. So those pro-supporters are, and the pro-Palestinians and the pro-Israeli genocide were at odds, to say the least. A fun show coming not to the Madison, but to the U.S. So this is on the East Coast of Community Calendar. I've been watching this kid. I say kid because he's a young guy, a teenager, in my book. He's become quite a musical challenge or icon here. This show is coming to just east of Providence, on the East Coast, south of Boston. His name is Maher Jah. Maher Jah is a Lebanese pop and Arab folk pop singer and songwriter. And he occasionally does a DJ. I think he started out as a DJ. But he is with another DJ, DJ Asil, who's also up and coming, or I should say he arrived. He's pretty good at what he does, taking music and spinning it as DJs do. The duo are coming to the, like I said, the East Coast here in, on the 11th and the 12th of this month coming up. But we'll keep you abreast of things changing, as we normally do during our show. And speaking of his musical, let's talk a little bit about him. He was, as I said, he's a kid. He was born in the 90s, 1990. So he's not that young, but he attributes his love for music in a way to the way he received it as a child, growing up in the Middle East, and then coming to or having dual citizenships. So he enjoyed the Lebanese and Arab nightlife scene. He had competed those pan-Arab music shows. There's something called Studio Al-Fen, where kids compete to play, sing, play music. And then he enjoyed the Arab folk and tabl music, and then became to sing early. Born in Lebanon, traveled to the U.S. As a child, and had strong interest in maintaining his connection to his musical birthland. So, obviously, parents often, especially in the Middle East, in the Arab culture, the parents pressure the youth into certain career paths. This was not encouraged. Being a musician was not up there on his list of his father's expectations. But hey, when he made the talent show and became popular as a top star, star maker, I think it was one of those. My mother visits back in town in the summers from warmer climates. She comes back to Wisconsin in the summer, and she ends up consuming more of the TVs, TV time in the house, watching Arabic programming. And I find myself sucked into it. Two reasons. One is I go visit with mom, and I sit down, and there she is watching something intently. She's focusing on some kind of a soap opera. Arabic soap opera or news or whatever it is. I find myself doing dual things. One, hanging out with mom. That's a blessing in a way. Secondly, I'm doing research for this show. So I want to see what's hip and happening. So I'm learning more about who are the movers and shakers in the field of newsmaking and entertainment in general. Speaking in general, it is believed, and this is just rumors, it may be just rumors, according to resources, coffee was, especially commercial production, this is commercial production, at one point it was enjoyed by local people here and there, but in Yemen, in the year 1400, coffee became a product. Ta-da! As in cultivated, roasted, and maybe not, and then commercially produced to become a crash crop, cash crop, not a cash cow. So the Yemenis people have delved into coffee years ago. The product itself in the peninsula, the Arabian Peninsula, where Yemen is, has been consumed as white coffee, or what they call just slightly toasted coffee beans before they even get any shade other than slight tan from green. So the green beans that you see in what they call raw coffee bean were not burnt beyond recognition like most dark roast coffee beans nowadays are just, in my opinion, burnt. As a child, I grew up in a household where buying ground coffee in the store ready to consume with cardamom was a luxury. So we would get the raw coffee bean, and Mom had a roaster. It was sat on the stovetop, which had an LP tank. And then she had a roaster that had a little whatchamacallit inside, the little auger. And she would literally toast, and the entire house would smell delicious. And she had at her disposal the ability to burn the coffee if she wanted it a dark roast or a medium roast, depending on what shade she felt was ready to take it off the heat and cool it off and then enjoy grinding it and consuming it. Most Arab coffees include cardamom, as I mentioned. The Southern Arabian Peninsula coffee bean was soaked in water to extract the caffeine, and that water is caffeinated, and the coffee beans become decaffeinated when you soak them in water long enough. And that coffee, that simple, clear, relatively clear liquid that comes out is a little bitter, but it's full of caffeine, and they would flavor it with the local spice in Yemen was cardamom. And they would soak cardamom and sweeten it with some sugar or something sweet, or in some cases, if they're fancy enough, they would put honey in it. So it was the birth of the first light or white coffee. And that was that spread throughout the Middle East. As the Turkish Empire grew and expanded in there, it brought more of this cafe or kahve in Arabic, kahve in Turkish, and coffee in the rest of Europe. The transition of the name, in my opinion. I know some of you out there are going to disagree with me. No, it's coffee, because that's the word for the coffee bean in English. But I think it comes from kahve, coffee, kahve. There's a relation there, if you stretch it. As a non-expert, I say it's delicious any way you pronounce it, as long as you enjoy the coffee bean itself. A human's addiction to caffeine, relationship with caffeine grew immensely as the product became more and more recognized globally. And now Central America and South America are the homes of the most produced coffee, though India and some parts of the Middle East, like the Yemenis, if there's any economy left in Yemen after the recent, almost 10 years of civil strife and the removal of the sitting government, including the president, and his he being kicked out of the country and the Houthis taking over, a lot of instability results in, one, famine, two, loss of crop, whatever it is, the people that were growing it. And now what the Yemenis live on is something called khat, which is another plant-based chemical that is chewed. And that khat has an upper, just like caffeine does, and enjoyed by humans who end up chewing so much of it in an addictive kind of manner to result in tooth loss, and et cetera. So it's still a drug. It's considered illegal in the U.S., so we've heard of stories of people coming from Yemen and bringing with them khat. Khat is not legal in the U.S., or at least it's best consumed green or fresh leaf. May 22nd, Hard Rock for Gaza is an event here. May 22nd at 7 p.m., Hard Rock for Gaza. It's a moon boot, the takeaways, and 20-minute mission is the name of the place. It's at the Burr Oak. So mark your calendar for that. We'll list it also on our Facebook page as we forge forward. Yes, for those of you who are asking where Rowan is today, he is on assignment on the East Coast. Shirin Abu Aqle was an Al Jazeera journalist, American-based Al Jazeera journalist, was assassinated pretty much a year ago. Shirin Abu Aqle Memorial Symposium takes place on the 9th of May, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The National Press Club, have you heard of them? Yes. She is recognized as the victim of deliberate Israeli occupation force sniper who was initially, she was shot and killed and initially, 2 years. I've been corrected. It's been 2 years since she has been assassinated. This Palestinian-American journalist was covering events just outside the refugee camp in Palestine, in the West Bank. And during the coverage, she got shot. To add insult to injury, the shooters, including the entire structure, the army, had refused to accept responsibility for that. So the Israeli army said, no, we didn't do it. There was an exchange of fire between the Israeli occupation force and Palestinian factions. I just used general term to name any Palestinian with a gun. They're considered armed thugs, I tell you. They're thugs. So in that crossfire, she got shot. And a while later, a few months later, the Israelis came back and fessed up to the responsibility very lightly. Like, it is possible. It could have been. All right, so what do you want? But the long of it is, or the short of it is that she was literally assassinated cold blood. She was clearly marked as a journalist, as the cases with many of the journalists who have been eliminated, neutralized by the events taking shape in Gaza today. So you said the music? Yes. So Maher Je. There's his music. Now let's take a short musical interlude.
وحدي انا اسمي الحبيب انت الي اسمي ونصيب وعد رح شيلك من حياتي لما الشمس عالشرق بتغيب يا ساعة رجع الساعة سحي الدموع واوجاعها الله شاهد على حكياتي قلبي وعوده بعمره ما باع وما بيحلى العيد وانت عني بعيد يا نبض هالقلب جوات الوريد ما بيحلى العيد وانت عني بعيد يا نبض هالقلب جوات الوريد يا نبض هالقلب جوات يا كل الغلا وأحلى من الحلا عيونك مجملة ممنوع تبكي يا كل العمر شدني بالغمر نقطع عالسطر ملكك وملكي وما بيحلى العيد وانت عني بعيد يا نبض هالقلب جوات الوريد ما بيحلى العيد انت عني بعيد يا نبض هالقلب جوات الوريد يا نبض هالقلب ما بيحلى العيد وانت عني بعيد يا نبض هالقلب جوات الوريد يا نبض هالقلب جوات الوريد
يا نبض ينبض هالقلب. ماهر جاه, Lebanese, younger singer. Pretty cool music. Yes, elections. What elections? The elections in what we call the growing concentration of Arabs living in the U.S., and that's the state of Michigan. The elections, let's see, when is the date? Primary elections will be held on August 6th this year, 2024. So they're apparently growing up to three now, Arab-American candidates challenging Democrats in Michigan's primary. Why are they challenging some Democrats? Because the candidates are challenging those who are in the House right now, being funded by pro-Israeli money because of their stance on Israel. So the three most vocal Arab Americans against Israeli genocide in Gaza, who have been demanding a ceasefire in the war against the Palestinians. It's no longer against Hamas. And if Hamas was the opposing factor, apparently the Israelis are missing their target big time. So the Gaza Strip have turned into a war zone and a massive grave, according to a couple of statements made by these future would-be politicians. So they filed petitions to challenge the Democratic members of Congress and the pro-Israel Democratic U.S. Senate candidate in Michigan. And these candidates cited frustration over their representatives' blind support for Israel among the reasons why they decided to try to get on a ballot to challenge the U.S. House members. And these Democrats have grown increasingly divided over the Israeli-Palestinian conflict since the Israeli war on Gaza that started after Hamas's attack on October 7th. So these the challenged members, those are the sitting people, include Representative Haley Stevens, a Democrat from Birmingham, Hillary Scholten, a Democrat from Grand Rapids, both Michigan, and Lisa Slotkin, a Democrat from Lansing. So the U.S. the U.S. Senate candidates who have been serving, the latter one is one that has been serving since 2019 as the U.S. representative for Michigan's 7th Congressional District. It's an important one. So a gentleman by the last name of Ghanam in Arabic is challenging the Stevens, the Representative Haley Stevens. Why he's doing that, I'm quoting here, "I am not just a protest vote. I am not running to send a message, but to unseat her," according to Ahmed Ghanam, who told the Detroit News. Ghanam is an activist who filed to run as Democrat against Ms. Stevens in the 11th District that covers parts of Oakland County in Michigan. He's 49 years old and a resident of Ferndale Township. He called the representative that he's hoping to replace a poster child for pro-Israel American Israeli Public Affairs Committee, the AIPAC. Ghanam is originally from Egypt and worked in health care management. He criticized Stevens for not meeting with ceasefire supporters from her district, including those who have lost family members in Gaza with firsthand experience. Quote, "I feel I'm not represented by my own representative," he told the news agency. Quote, we've called her hundreds of times to respond to us and to call for a ceasefire, no reply. So Stevens is a staunch supporter of Israel and had fierce primary 2022, but eventually defeated progressive U.S. Representative Andy Levine of Bloomingfield Township, who has been the previous contender, was an Israeli critic by 20 percentage points, according to this report. So the contest between Levine and Stephen drew an avalanche of outside spending, including over $4 million by the group tied to the pro-Israeli AIPAC and $3 million by the abortion rights group Emily's List. Stephen had $581,000 in cash reserves for her re-election as of March 31st. So she's got money. She's a well-endowed contender. And for last week, she voted yay for the $26 billion aid package to Israel. And that's one of the other things that the would-be contender, Ghannam, wanted to go after that seat because she did not represent the constituents when she voted yay for that kind of money, for money that we don't have to send to a country that we like only because they're supporting our politicians stay in politicians. Another gentleman, Al Shatel, is challenging the Shulton sitting politicians, and this is for the 3rd District. I have a feeling that I don't want to waste the entire show talking about why these gentlemen, but there's an echo going on here. The three Arab voices that want to run for office were simply wanting to change the status quo and represent the people that they will eventually represent in their country, in their state, hoping that the decision making beyond that will not be so difficult. One of them, the one who had a PSA or had a couple of his last name is Baydoun. He simply wanted to he's asking the people, like people like me, to send dollar donations, which I don't think he'll make it to win a multi-million dollar campaign. But he wanted to change the status quo because of what's going on at the ground level here in America. There is a seismic shift. Apparently, he believes also that many Americans are not happy with the decision-making done by those who are supported by AIPAC to have the unconditional support for the State of Israel in committing the supposed crimes that they're committing. So he wants everyone, including the Arab Americans, obviously, to vote for him. The campaign will be on the campaign trail as things move forward and change, hopefully to the better, right? And we'll hear about that. So, listening to Arab news throughout the week, a Houthi leader in Yemen, we started talking about Yemen earlier, offered those university students in America, if they get kicked off their campuses for their activism, Yemen, Houthi leader, would get you into their colleges and you can graduate from there as a solution for those who feel the need that, you know, I'd like to protest what's happening to American foreign policy and its impact overseas, but I might just lose my college, potential college path. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe this is the bottom of the hour already. You have been a part of Selamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab-American issues. My name is Sabi Altieh. I brought you this tour today. We're going to continue with the singer we started the show with. And his name was, what was his name? Who wrote this down? That was me, Maher Jah. This is another one called... أمي وحدي أنا اسم الحبيب. Oh, I think I'm playing the same one before. Well, that's what we have going for you. A rerun of the same show. I mean, the same music from earlier in the show. Until next week, I bid you farewell by saying in Arabic, Assalamu alaikum. Stay tuned for the super duper most entertaining show on WRT, The Pachyderm Parade. شاهد على حكياتي قلبي وعوده بعمره ما باع وما بيحلى العيد وانت عني بعيد يا نبض هالقلب جوات الوريد ما بيحلى العيد وانت عني بعيد يا نبض هالقلب جوات الوريد يا نبض
يخبط هالقلب جوا يا كل الغلا وأحلى من الحلا عيونك مجملة ممنوع تبكي يا كل العمر شدني بالغمر نقطع عالسطر ملكك وملكي وما بيحلى نعيد وانت عني بعيد يا نمط هلا
FBC Live presents Humbird Right On Release Tour with Creekbed Carter Hogan on Thursday, May 16th at the High Noon Saloon. The brainchild of singer-songwriter Suri Undlin, Humbird stretches between experimental folk and environmental Americana. The central tenet of Humbird's third full-length album, Right On, is uncertainty as a radical ethos in this soapbox age and an effort worth turning up the amps for, resulting in the project's most electric, playful, metalled record yet. Opener Creekbed Carter Hogan is a trans folk singer who showcases a unique blend of self-taught folk picking and queer mayhem. FPC Live presents Humbird, Right On Release Tour with Creekbed Carter Hogan on Thursday, May 16th at the High Noon Saloon. Live music lives at WORT Madison.
Jack Brigade, artifact at Durham Parade, but we